Chapter 15. Foxwoods Casino, present day. She was wearing a tight black leather miniskirt and high-heeled shoes. Her shoulder-length red hair flared out around her elevated cheekbones and angled chin, framing her confident Nordic features. Her body was sharp like her jaw, more corners than curves, and her thin frame couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds. But the look in her blue eyes was a warning. Don't judge a girl by the length of her skirt or the color of her hair. This bitch will rip you to shreds. I sat down next to her at the blackjack table. The dealer had just finished shuffling and was rolling the deck back into the shoe. There was only one other player at the table, an elderly woman in a bright pink jumpsuit. She could have been wearing a neon flamingo on her head, and the dealer wouldn't have noticed. His gaze was pinned to the redhead with a razor-edged chin. Christ, the redhead commented as he started to deal the cards. How long have I been sitting here? Wish my husband would finish playing crap so I can get the hell back to Manhattan. She brushed her chips with her hand, the enormous diamond on her ring finger flashing brilliantly above her bright red fingernails. The dealer sighed, his attention returning to the cards. Another high-class arm charm blowing time at the blackjack table while her husband rolls the dice. The dealer never would have guessed that, in fact, Jill Taylor was a tough, fledgling corporate consultant at one of the top firms in the country. That she had graduated with honors from MIT undergrad and Harvard Business School, and lived by herself in a million-dollar townhouse in Hartford, Connecticut. That, at 27, she was recently divorced from an advertising executive who no longer wanted to compete with her professional drive, her firebrand personality, her unyielding need for speed. The dealer definitely never would have guessed that she and her husband had once been one of the premier card-counting couples in Vegas history. Her act had him completely fooled. She could get away with anything at his table. And over the next hour, I watched her count cards with an expert's ease, while raising and lowering her bet with a rich woman's disdain. Even when she moved into the $1,000-per-bet range, the pit boss never came over to look. On her own, she was a formidable presence in the gaming pit. I could only imagine what she and her husband had been like on Kevin's team. When she finally cashed out her chips, she was up more than $10,000. I waited a few minutes for her to clear the gambling area before following her toward our arranged meeting spot. It was slow going. As usual, the casino was surging with visitors from all over the Northeast. It was an amazing thing to comprehend, considering that the place was located in the middle of nowhere. The largest casino in the world wasn't in Las Vegas or Atlantic City. It squatted, monstrously, in a forest deep in the heart of Connecticut. From outside, it had the appearance of a many-storied, pastel-colored spaceship that had fortuitously crash-landed on American Indian land. Foxwoods Resort and Casino had been built on a massive scale. The main complex totaled 4.7 million square feet, with 315,000 of them dedicated to gambling. The casino boasted 350 table games and more than 5,800 slot machines spread through five distinct gambling areas. Its 11,500 employees serviced an estimated 50,000 guests daily, an incredible accomplishment considering that the entire Pequot Indian tribe, which had built the casino, numbered a mere 300 members.